Hello. Since we're a small crowd today, we're not going to teach. Thank you.
That Brandon always say,
since we're small, you know, I studied a lot. Give me the bullets, give me the bombs, but don't get me up before a microphone. Oh, I forgot my glasses. Can't teach. Huh? Yeah. It's scary, though. It's a humbling thing, isn't it?
People are more afraid of speaking in public than they are of dying. So if you're at a funeral, they'd rather be in the casket than what happens.
Yeah. The fact is I've preached a lot in different churches. And when I imploded that day, that was it. That was it. It absolutely... Yeah, I know, but it's just different. You know, when you teach in front of your church, because you guys aren't kindergartners, you know, you know a lot more than I do, but. Oh, well, you know what? Oh, my goodness. Well, judged on the crowd today, I'm sure it's not because of me. It's just because the providentially hindered. Leo? This thing's really loud. Yeah. Okay, we're going to do, we have any prayer requests today, by chance? Anybody? Please. Anybody? No, anybody?
My mother's had to stay with her mother a couple of nights this week. She hasn't been doing well. She's trying to knock her, but she just went funeral.
Anxiety.
But she just
had some issues,
and my mother stayed over with her.
That's nice.
All right. My son. He's incarcerated now, trying to make things easy enough for him to live with me. It'll be a long investment. I'm sorry. Mentally different than what you have experienced dealing with a homeless person. It's now being in the system. I can't imagine what's in your mind. It's difficult. Make it through a week. But it might be the only
week. No. We will. I know. He gave me a patch this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said to protect when you feel like you're in the
okay.
But wait, no name is trying to say, I don't know what you're doing. The doctor said he needs to get the
The doctor did my spinal cord surgery, said I've never killed anybody, which he did. Yeah. So you know what, you gotta trust in God alone. Since that time, man, I don't have any trust for many people, for the doctor especially. Yeah. He told me when it couldn't move my arm, and all, he said, just keep breathing. He's like, what's going on with my arm? Just keep breathing. So anyway, what's that about me? But Blaine, anything?
Daughter-in-law is due with her seventh child. She's due she's 5 or 7 days past due now, which is that's their normal, the way she normally goes, right? And so we're just, you know, pray for that. And then, family issues like with Rodney and, you know, talking about his son and I'd like to continue to not forget Naomi and that whole situation.
Yeah.
I just know that all the family issues that everybody's going through.
Huh.
Then, of course, Israel, with what's going on over there.
Yeah. Today's teaching is Luke 11, and we're going to discuss the Lord's Prayer, at least the Luke version, explain the importance of prayer. So this is a good day for those requests to share. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. So I'm going to pray for the prayer requests, and I'm going to open up as part of that into our Sunday school. Father, we thank you for humbling us, for allowing us to come here. You are holy, and only you are holy, and only you are good. Father, there's so many issues here just within this living church body today. And you know them all. You know every issue outside and inside the church body. Father, we lift up Greta and give her strength and give her mom strength, Lord. Both Rodney's Dylan and my Dylan and the other boys. Father, be with Rodney, strengthen him as he goes through this this trial, this difficult time in his life that strains him. We pray, Lord, you will touch his son greatly to fix his mind, to fix his body. We ask, Lord, that he will be one of yours if he's not already. Lord, just humble him. God, get him back up to his right mind. We lift up Jim and the issue with the insurance and the doctors. Father, I pray that your will be done, that you will be glorified through all this. We lift Naomi, of course, and the Pendleton family as they go through these trials and tribulations and also joyous times. We pray for a safe delivery of another baby into the Pendleton family. And we, of course, lift up Israel and all over there in the Middle East. We lift up John. Father, protect them. Protect our troops. Let's not be scared as if the sky is falling and we don't have a God to worship. And as I teach today, give me the words to say. Give me a willing people to teach it to, open their ears, open my heart and their hearts. And for those who couldn't make it today providentially, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for Brandon and Beth as they left town, and be with them, Lord. And thank you for the humbling experience of teaching in front of your people in your church. In Stillwood is a free America. In Jesus' name, amen. So almost time to go. Okay, so today I'm going to read Luke 11, 1 through 13. I have a lot of notes, but the problem with me is putting them together sometimes. We have a lot of information here. I'm sure you've heard sermons on Luke 1 through 3, on the Lord's Prayer, on Luke's version. Well, actually, this actually... in Matthew 6, that occurred 6 months before or so. That was part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this prayer here in Matthew or Luke is a bit different. Okay. So Luke 1 and following, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray," let me just stop there. So in 1 through 2, there's a lot in there already. And first of all, it doesn't mention the disciples' name. So obviously it's not important, as important as what's happening here. When the request came into Jesus to teach us how to pray, He was making a petition for the other disciples. There may have been some talk, and you know, Jesus is known to be praying a lot. I have all kinds of examples, but what he's saying here is he is feeling the need to pray, whoever the disciple is, and obviously representing the other disciples, and probably within their presence. I may be stepping out a little bit, but probably within their presence. Because if it's important for Jesus to pray, it's obviously important to disciples to pray. Now, these disciples were the first Christian disciples, that they know how the Jews pray. They know that they pray not in petitions, but more or less in praise to God alone. And that's how they're used to pray. And at the end, they usually say amen. And the praise to God and lifting him up is more of a doxology. And this prayer here, you'll see it differs from Matthew 6 because there's no doxology in it. And that's a big difference. So let's go further here. I don't know how much we're going to be able to get in today. There's a lot. And I want to be as thorough as I can with what knowledge I have. And I'd like it to be interactive. I want to learn as well as I'm teaching. So here we go in verse 2. He said to them, when you pray. So obviously there were other people there because he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. God's name is hallowed. It's God's name is God, who God is. It's not just a name. It is who God is. Yahweh. He is holy. His name is holy. And that's why when we as a Christian should feel offended when his name's taken in vain and taken blasphemed so much that really, you know, you get a little bit maybe numb to it, or you need a teaching like this, or you need a preaching about God's name and how holy he is. Because his name is holy, which means separate, which apart from everybody else and everything else. We don't necessarily understand that because we're born into this world of, you know, full of sin, and sinful we're born, and we don't really understand until God reveals it to us how holy his name is and what he's done for us. This is the, when the disciples ask how to pray, they're petitioning, like I said, they're petitioning Jesus, and not understanding who he actually is in reality, in his fullness of his godness. They don't really understand that yet. Because as you see, it says Lord, LORD. They're claiming him as, it's a title. It's not saying God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God. They're saying Lord. As a title. And so Jesus says, first, say, Father. Wait a minute. So he's claiming, we need to say Father, or God. As a young child goes to his daddy, and says, Daddy, I know who you are in the scheme of things. You know who I am in the scheme of things. You are the person that all good things come through. There is a request I'm making right now to the highest being, to the top tier person in my life. You, I'm asking to, not anybody else, nobody lower than you. And it's a declarative statement as well. Daddy, Father, Daddy. And this with a holiness, with a humility and a reverence for his name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Well, we all know that if we understand the Bible as we claim we do, at least understand one thing. What do we always say? God is what? Sovereign.
God's sovereign.
Sovereign means, is he sovereign? We can't be sovereign. So we're not going to change his kingdom. We're not going to say, well, we don't want your kingdom. We're going to stop it from coming. That's crazy. We're accepting, we're knowing, we're acknowledging your kingdom is a perfect kingdom. It's a kingdom that we want to be a part of. We want your kingdom come down here. We want it to be like it is where you're dwelling right now. Give us each day our daily bread. Give each day our daily bread. That is a petition of what we need daily. Our health, our food, our provision daily. Not having any scared and saying, Daddy, I need this today. Give me what I need today. I trust you enough to say, give it to me today. Don't give me, you don't have to, I'm not worried about next week or next year, but I know if you give me enough today, then I'll have enough. There was, if I can find it. This is where I'm talking about my notes, right? Could anybody quote me that scripture that says, give me enough that I'm not wanting and not too much, so I don't remember who you are? What was that? Yes. What was that? I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I have it wrote down. I just give me today the need, what I need to teach. You know, right? Okay. And I'll go on for a second. And forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Well, obviously, we can't go any further in prayer and be effective if we certainly don't forgive those who have wronged us. Now, personally, there was somebody who wronged me a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I don't want to forgive this person. I really don't. I mean, I justify it by saying he's a meth head, and I've tried to do the right thing. I promise you that I met my obligation to this man and to his mother. I met that obligation already. I told his mother I'll take care of him, do the best I can. And then he violated my trust. And I said, that's it. You know, I'm done. And I was convicted of it, this morning again. And I said, you know, he can't do that. Although he's not a believer, he's hampering my growth. He's hampering my relationship with God because I'm holding it back as if it's a treasure to put in my pocket. And hold on to it and be justified by not talking to this guy. And it made me feel better. I'm sorry. I'm just confessing in front of the church. I mean, that's just the way it is sometimes with people. You think you're better than everybody else. And how dare you offend me? How dare you offend me? But really, I'm just Joe Schmo the ragman. I'm a nobody. I'm a sinner that is begging for forgiveness. So although he hasn't asked, well, actually he did. He pleaded for me to forgive him. And I said I did. And there's also the difference between forgiving and forgetting. There's a real fine line there. Because if you do forgive, that gets pushed off to the right. You don't bring it up all the time. You forgive them and you move forward. But I still want to hold on to some of that. I promise you. Well, yes, that's right. So what you do is you don't put yourself in a position where he can submarine you again. That's what you do. And that's a smart way to do it. But sometimes, you know, I'm sure it's just guys who do it because women don't do that. You know, we want to hold on to it. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Did you find it for me yet? Okay. So not only that, I'm going to read this once over again in a few minutes. So we forgive everyone who is indebted to us or sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, So we're not put in a position where we fall and oblige ourselves to be a part of that temptation, to give it to that temptation. There's temptation everywhere. You know, the lust starts off in the brain as a thought, and then it leads on, and you hold on to that. You capture that thought, the bad thought. Instead of capturing the good thought, we're led in temptation. We're led into temptation. We don't listen. We don't follow what we just prayed here. So I'm going to read this again in total. And we're going to go over just real quick, a couple of small points. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Just as John also taught his disciples. He said to them, "When you pray." Now, he's not saying, if you want to, you know, I suggest this is, if you know, you could deviate greatly if you want to, really, seriously, I mean, you know. But when, and understanding that they don't know who Jesus Christ is yet in totality. But this isn't like a, it's like you ask me for something, and I'm going to tell you the truth, right, about whatever it is. He is the God of creation, you know. And he's saying, okay, this is how I want you to pray. There's no deviation from this. Now, not the exact words, of course. But we use that sometimes. And being raised in a Roman Catholic church, we used to say the Our Father and the Hail Marys and to be justified and the Rosary and all that stuff. And that's why sometimes, like when we read the Nicene Creed, I didn't understand the gravity of that as a Roman Catholic. But now, as a Christian, I understand the Nicene Creed. I love the Nicene Creed. I embrace it. But sometimes it gets, when we have a repetitive prayer, I get a little spooky. It's a little bit, Blaine, what you got? Okay, what is it? Amen. 23? 30? 38, okay. 30, verse 8. Just out of curiosity, I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but, okay, I'm asking this rhetorically. How many people here have actually been prosperous in their life and have pushed away from God, even as a Christian, and then God schwacks you or brings you back? Or, I mean, I know I have. You know, and that's why I told Jen, not jokingly, I said, we'll never be rich. We'll never be rich, you know, because it spoils things. We had a really nice day yesterday. Simple things in life you start enjoying a little bit more. When you get a diagnosis of cancer or you wake up paralyzed or whatever, or your family member's dying, man, you're on your knees, right? So we need to use these times as a time of reflecting into getting closer to him. Sometimes I wish we could just be like cyborgs, just move around life peacefully without any problems. But that's not the reality. And that's why Jesus said this is what we need to pray. There's not an option here. So whatever your, when you look at these petitions here, look at them and say, well, what does that look like to me in my prayer life? How do I start my prayers? Do I understand God is holy? And do I understand that I want to live his kingdom down here, that I yearn for his kingdom to be perfect down here, that we strive to that, because we know that the ultimate place we're going to be is in heaven with him and his kingdom. Do we say that? Do we feel that? Forgive us our sins. Do we actually forgive our sins, the sins of other people? Now, does God forgive us our sins completely? Oh, absolutely. There's plenty of scripture that says he does. And why would we hold that back from somebody else? Who are we? Who do you think we are? You know, that I can hold back forgiveness for this guy. I feel like, you know, it's not right. So I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite when I do that. And I'm not trying to put a show on here, but look, I don't know how much more time we have on this planet, whether, you know, God calls us home now or we die in 10, 20 years. I got a thing from Social Security that says, my life expectancy is 88. So I'm thinking about calling him up and ask him, Do you have any clue what the winning lottery numbers are? Or what I need to eat next week? You know, or should I invest in gold and silver? You know, that's ridiculous. You know, the actuarial tables are really actual. So anyway, so that is a model prayer, the model prayer that Jesus told us we should pray. And now I'm going to go to 5 and following. His parable of the persistent friend. Now understand something about parables. Every word is not a different meaning. A parable usually has one or two meanings, not like 10. It's not like it's not a code. It's symbolic of what's the main thing you get from the parable. Now, in keeping with the time as we're moving forward in the progression of time here with the disciples, then he said, so it's a continual conversation he's having. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's a friend, yet because he is of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, this is something like, I think it's Luke 12, but the widow who is a colleague. Anyway, I don't have a Joe Biden moment. God forgive me for this. Importunate. Do we have a tissue, please? Do you know what importunate means? Anybody understand? You know, anybody doesn't know, whatever. I'll just tell you. Importunate is something that I was, excuse me, when I was a sergeant in K-9. And I was a pain in the neck to my supervisors, to the mayor, or the major. I wanted certain stuff from my guys. And I was importunate. I was pestering. But I wasn't asking for me. I wasn't asking for me. Which really isn't, that's not the key to being importunate. Importunate is that you're persistent and constant and you're always, you know, needling this guy. I want this. I want this. We need this. We need this. It's a persistence. It's a persistence where, look, just here, take this. Just take the rest of my money. Just go away. Just leave me alone. How do I get you out of my life? That's importunate. So when we pray, I like to put it in the personal form. When I pray, I would generally, until I understand really how God wants us to pray, I would say, okay, Lord, I need this, or I really wish you would make my mom whole or whatever. And I would kind of leave it alone. But I noticed that the more important the thing is, the more importunate I become. The more I petition God for his mercy. You know, I wish just for a second, sometimes we can just glimpse a moment without God, with him pushing us completely out of his view. Just for a couple minutes. And I wonder if we would have that yearning, that crazy desire to know him, to be close to him. It's like, I think it'd be like being held underwater, right, for a while, and just before you pass out. And the only thing you want in the whole world is to get up there and grab the first breath of air. And really, that's really how we kind of really need to be. Now, I'm preaching, I'm teaching this, but I'm saying that the importance of the problem will make you importunate. And at that point, when you're underwater, well, I will beg and plead and cry, God, give me another breath of air. Or your family member's sick, God, heal my family member. If not, like, your will be done either way. And so what Jesus is telling us here, because he's speaking to his disciples and it's written down in his book, what he's telling us is be persistent. Have faith in me. Have faith that I will do what I will do. And don't just say, well, Lord, I want this, or I need this, or we need this, and drop it. He doesn't want us to do that. Where we would think as a human being, if Ethan would come to me, of course, I give him pretty much anything, but and he would be persistent in wanting something for his brother, I would have compassion as a human being, say, Ethan, whatever he wants, I'll give. You know, you're not asking for yourself. You're asking for your brother. So these things that we're seeing here, this is how we should pray, first 1 through 4, and then 5 and following, is the intensity of our prayer, of how intensely we need to pray. And if we're intensely praying, being to the point of being importunate, then we will we have more. We're driven. We're driven more and more just to get before God. But you know the thing it doesn't say in here is anywhere that no. Like, hold on a minute. It doesn't say that God hates an importunate man. It doesn't say that. He's telling us, Jesus is telling us to be importunate. But to me, you're not important. You're important. You mean something to me. You're mine. That's it. Right? So, anybody else have anything on that one? On either one, we got 1 through 6, 8.
What you're saying is, God's telling us to come to Him repeatedly. Being persistent.
Right.
It's not that He doesn't know what we need. He knows it before we even ask.
Yeah.
But this changes us.
Right.
Not Him.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It was six months before. Yeah.
And that was just blown away that Jesus would tell us or God Father that way. He would speak that way. And the only time Jesus never referred to God as Father, that random contrast, is when he was dying on the cross.
Right.
And my God, that was the only time Jesus would call him my Father. But it was pretty important. Then it really only calls the Lord's Prayer, like really, you know, we all know probably it's the disciples' prayer. He's telling us how to pray.
Right. The high priestly prayer. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you're right. And that's the problem with the Pharisees. The Pharisees had that veil between them and God, and there was one chosen person, you know, to make sacrifices and stuff. And you know, when Jesus died on the cross, that veil, the veil was ripped from the top down. And that's not only symbolic, it actually did happen, but it's even saying that, hey, we no longer have a veil between us. We are given the opportunity and the honor and the ability to actually pray directly to God, our Father. We have an intermediary, which is Jesus Christ now. But Jesus says, this is how you pray. Directly to Him. It doesn't say, well, let's talk to the Levite and, you know, throw some bulls out there. And so, it doesn't. And I'm sorry, this is just, you know what, I know, I'm a very practical guy, very utilitarian, I guess. I apply everything to time here and now, and yeah, I'll throw some, like, I wish I would have said that, but this is how I apply in my life. I'm a very, you know, I don't know what you call it, but this is kind of how I am. You know, and you guys are helping me out a lot. So, Roddy, Jessam.
No,
Well, I thought, okay. All right.
I mean, you covered so much stuff here that I'm living out my own life and what I'm going through right now. First of all, what Blaine brought up about the intimacy of starting prayer with calling on your Father, what you brought up about. And what Blaine also brought up about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those the spiritual leaders at this time, not understanding that. So you give them, we're accusing, but we're also explaining at the same time. They did not have that torn veil that gave the intimacy that Christ is calling his believers to. They didn't understand it. I don't understand my brother, my son. I do not understand him. He's thinking through a mind that I've never experienced. And yet I'm trying to reach out to him. So like these disciples, I'm trying to have the mind of Christ. That's what I'm called to do. But I'm acting out of my knowledge. And my knowledge, even with knowing Christ, still is, here's the problem, solve the problem. And as long as I'm thinking that way, I really can't solve the problem. I've got to have that mind of Christ. In other words, I mean, just before we get into this prayer, the 70 are returning, rejoicing in what power they have had to throw out demons and share the truth of who Jesus Christ is to non-believers, people who have my son's mind. And they're coming back talking. I think it's helpful if we consider ourselves as servants who want the mind of Christ, not to hold either praise for what we're doing and our sincere desire to do it, or rejection for what we're trying to do. Hold on to either one of those thoughts very tightly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if we're to have that mind of Christ, our success or our rejection, you dealing with this, as you said, crackhead, your success with him or your rejection is going to be determined by Christ, not by you. And our greatest desire then should be to represent Jesus, him as our master, and yet God as our Father.
Your kingdom
the
come.
Intimacy,
your will be done.
The right. Intimacy of our relationship is what's important.
Yeah. We will all forget that sometimes. You know, I get frustrated and so whatever, but
yeah.
But I'm not being obedient.
It's extremely difficult. Yeah. I'm going through probably the most frustrating experience, more frustrating than watching the death of my wife, is trying to deal with something that I can't understand, and yet I want to help. And it's leading me into dealing with not only my son, but other people I'm meeting that are homeless, that are affected by drugs. Mm-hmm. How do I help them when I really cannot identify with where they are? And trying to share Christ with them, pretty difficult.
Well, you know,
I got to rely on Jesus.
Exactly.
My point is I've got to rely on the intimate relationship I have, my Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. I've got to rely on that intimate relationship.
Right.
And he's the one that will give success,
right.
Not me.
And the next line was, the petition was, your kingdom come, your will be done. And that's part of our disobedience. We think that, we have to make it happen. But we need to set our eyes on living perfectly as Christ lived, knowing we'll never be able to achieve that. Just like, you know, the Ten Commandments, you know, was the first commandment, love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. It's impossible. We broke the first commandment. We can't get past the first commandment. You know? So we have to yield over to him. If we don't yield over to him, we're frustrated. We are in a gunfight with a water pistol. We're absolutely combat ineffective. We can't do it. But why do we think, I don't want to speak for everybody, why do I think I can do that? Because right now you're seeing the video of Konya. If you ever see a snapshot, in the worst frame, you're like, this guy, you know, we need to remember that when we look at other people and say, hey, you know what, the guy is a lowlife. Well, I come from a family of bad guys, lowlifes. And at times I was a lowlife in my life. Yeah, I still am. But I'm seeking my sanctification. I'm moving forward into my Christianity, my life as a Christian. And I'm trying not to. It's more frequently I think of myself as a wretch than I used to. When I think of myself as a wretch, now I have empathy towards the other people around me. Now I can preach the gospel. Now I can say what Martin Luther say? I'm just a beggar showing another beggar. That's who we are.
With all that, the one verse I know, it's always God initiating everything. Famous verse, 1 John 3:1, where he says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, how it comes from Him, that we should be called children of God." He's the one that bestowed that upon us, our love for Him. The fact that we can call Him Father comes from Him.
Was it 1 Corinthians where it says that you who were once far off are now part of my family? 1 Corinthians? I was adopted. I was in an orphanage for a couple of years, and I was adopted. Abandoned by an Italian mother, adopted by an Italian lady. But I was adopted. And now I call myself Fortunato because that's who I was adopted from. And God's saying, "Hey, I'm adopting you. You're mine. You're mine. I made you. You're mine. You're even though you're not worthy of it, my son makes you worthy." And really, that's the end state. That's the end goal, where we are able to teach people who we think are lower than us, which they're not, to teach them about Christ, to proclaim the gospel, not just preach the gospel, proclaim it. When I was first in the faith, I wanted to just stop cars on the road and say, "Hey, you know, Jesus died for me." So, anyway, anybody else?
No matter what our position is, no matter what we've accomplished, no matter what prestige we may have, we have no life apart from Christ. Secondly, so now you're dealing with an individual with Crashville. I'm dealing with the son, emotionally disturbed. And the question is then, as you were replying at one time, you were frustrated with him, ready to give up on him. The question for me is, how much is enough? How much is enough?
Grace applied, man. You can apply that grace and keep forgetting about it.
Seven times?
Seven times 70.
Go back to your crackhead and try again.
You're right.
And I didn't mean to be, crackhead is a generic term or a meth head or whatever. I was a cop. I'm a very base person. And anyway, so if my family forgives me, I appreciate that. I should have called somebody else, It's a guy with a problem. That's what I should have done. Anything else from anybody? That's right. That's right. Yeah. Amen. We didn't get very far today. You know what? I love hymns. I love hymns. Anyway, I'm sorry we didn't get very far, but I hope we learned something today. I know I've been humbled again. So, Philip, you want to close in prayer?
Father, we come to you humble that we can come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for this lesson this morning and just a few short verses and the way you deal with it. So thank you for the privilege that we can call you Father.
That we have an intimate relationship with you through your Son who intercedes for us. Father, we ask that you would use this
Teach us to be persistent in our prayer. Teach us to run to you first and continually. Lord, use this. Change us this morning. Lord, as we leave this time, we still have many thoughts and needs on our hearts, which we ask that you would quiet our hearts and minds. Lord, help us to worship you today rightly. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to see you high and lifted up. Lord, be with your people this morning. Feed your sheep. In Christ's name.